Welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey, a weekly podcast featuring real and practical spiritual conversations from diverse perspectives here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today, episode 211, a very special conversation with Bethany. And now your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hello and welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey. My name is Cynthia Alice Anderson, also lovingly known as RCA, and I'm here in 818 Studios with my producer.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or I don't know, good night. This is Dave Crawford. Welcome to another episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey. As always, I hope you're doing well, and welcome to a brand new week, and just really happy you are with us today.
Yeah, today is a great day to be alive. And Dave, I did the same thing. That's why I paused right as I was starting. I was like, well, I'm sure people in China are going to go, no, it's not morning for us.
It's tomorrow.
On this show.
It's the next day.
It's tomorrow. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's so wonderful to have friends listening all around the world. So bless you wherever you may be from. So Dave, we have a great guest with us today. Someone who's quickly becoming a friend. And I like that delineation because her music really blessed me. And I wanted our listeners to know her because she's been engaged in music and in the spiritual journey for a long time. She was really been a blessing in Unity churches, but not only Unity, certainly many faiths around the country. She is a teacher. She is a musician, and there's much more you're going to learn about her. But Bethany is with us this morning, all the way from Texas, right, Bethany? So, Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, I'm thrilled that people are going to learn more about you all around the world. I mean, that's what excites me because, you know, Unity can be a kind of a small pond, and we want to really engage our world in some of these teachings of hope, of love, of peace, of going within, you know, to find peace and joy and all the things that we need as humans. And I know you had a recent album come out, but I wanted to start out talking about, if you don't mind, a little bit about the album that impacted me so much, which was your album, Go Within.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and what prompted you to do it, because, you know, it's the whole album is so meditative. Like, what was the impetus for recording that?
That's very easy to answer. I was the music director at Unity Church of the Hills in Austin, and every Sunday we did a meditation song. And I played piano and sang and then accompanied our guest singers every week.
Sure.
And I got tired of doing the same four songs.
I know. Right?
After a couple of years, you know, it was getting a little old. And I thought, you know, I could write stuff equally as good as this, maybe better. Why not? So I started writing my own meditation songs. And what I would do is after the service, we'd go in the hospitality room and have coffee and snacks. And I would just stand around and wait for people to say something about the tunes. And invariably, somebody would come up to me and say, I've never heard that meditation song. Did you write that one for this morning? And I said, actually, yes, I did.
Yeah.
So I started getting feedback unsolicited and unbiased about my music. And that's how the whole thing started. And I had I had another keyboard player who's a producer.
Has
a wonderful studio. And I said, Daryl, I want to start recording this stuff, plus the regular meditations we do every week. Let's do an album. And he did not want to do it. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed him. Every week I bugged him. And he finally said, okay. So I went to his studio and we started working on turning these things into an album. And so he did most of everything on MIDI. I played the keys and sang a bunch of the background vocals, but he did all the engineering and put all the beautiful stuff. He had the strings and the choirs and all that
beautiful
stuff.
Beautiful, yeah.
He's an amazing guy. He also works at a snail's pace, which is the complete opposite of how I do things. And so so I had to wait a long time for his perfection.
All right.
But
well,
it
comes
so
through.
It.
Well,
yes,
it does. Yes, it is worth it. It's what I would call pristine in terms of the listener's experience. You know, there's just nothing to distract from the message. And, you know, what I wondered about your spiritual process, you know, Of course, when I let me just say, when I was first listening to it, all I cared about is it got me through the day.
Oh, that is so incredible.
Well, and at that time, I had just moved to, because it recorded in the late 90s, I think.
Yes.
And I had moved to Kansas City to go to school, but I was working a year before going to ministerial school. And there I met our mutual friend, Fred Albers, who was also the music director and also very talented musician.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, taught at the conservatory and everything in Kansas City. I mean, just very, very talented. And I think he's the one that told me about your music, and it just became a touchstone. That one, well, there are several. Lead Me to the Light is one. In This Very Room is one that we do now at my new church in North Tampa as well. And so anyway, that music really was important because my spiritual journey at that time was deepening in a way I had not had before. So I was like meditating twice a day. I was working at a church, like every moment of the day was basically filled with some kind of spiritual activity. It was either work or meditation at the church or teaching a class or taking a spiritual class. But even with all of that, I still needed some internal touchstones. And, you know, I grew up in a super musical household, so music has always been very important to me. So anyway, your music was so important. And so I wondered, you know, I know now why you did. Did you have a spiritual process around any of it, or is the music your spirituality?
I could say that music is definitely my religion.
Yes, yes.
There's no question about it, and it saved my life. My creativity saved my life. And so, yeah, that's where God is.
That's
definitely within me. I mean, I feel like I'm a channel. Definitely a channel. Because when you're a songwriter, you know, you're channeling. It. You know, you're sitting on the couch having coffee, and all of a sudden you hear this thing in your head. And I just run over to the piano. And it comes from out of nowhere. It's amazing. I don't know. Lead Me to the Light. I usually just sit down at the piano. I start playing some kind of a thing, and it turns into a song. The seed's usually a little intro, a couple of chords off. I'll just hear, you know, and then I don't know. It's a gift. It is. It's a gift that I give, that God gives to me.
Yes. And there is, that's felt, you know, in your music. Years ago, I did this study where it was a study of how the emotions of the artist impact the audience, and how what they're holding in consciousness is felt. And anyway, I was in this large group. It was in this big symphony hall, and the trumpet player at this point was doing some of this modeling where he would think or feel something deeply and then play, and we would try to name that emotion. Well, we were right every time.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he was like, he could not believe it as a musician, because he was more of a symphonic player, you know, not necessarily known for tapping into his feelings on a trumpet part, you know.
Yeah.
But to the audience, you know, it was so obvious. And so I would say that too with your music. That's why I asked the question. It's like the music is the spiritual experience for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is. It's the ultimate experience of being in present time.
Yes.
Which is, it's all about presence, right? It's all about the presence. There's nothing going on in my mind. There's no chit-chat. There's no monkey mind.
Right.
It is pure. It's zen. It is totally zen. I think, you know, you're a musician. Doing music is a way to get present. And there's
totally
nothing better than that. It's the best thing. That's why I dedicated my life to it. I had to. I had to do it. It wasn't easy, but I did it, you know, and I'm thankful that I have.
Yes, you're
and
right.
And also, I'm not a religious person, so the whole way of getting into unity was a total... It was a total fluke. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, that was, yes, absolutely. That was going to be next.
Okay, great. Fabulous.
I'm following you. I'm following you.
Well, I was a jazz singer in Austin.
Right.
And I was on a list of people who play piano and sing. short list. And I went to University of Texas. I was a classical piano major. And the minute I got out of school, I went and got a gig playing at the Stouffer Hotel 5 nights a week doing pop music, which I taught myself how to do. Anyway, so one day the phone rang, and it was a Unity minister from Michigan who he and his wife were a team, and they, Ron and Lenore Scott, and they came down to start this church in Austin.
And I know them, by the way. Yeah.
Fabulous. That's great. Anyway, they called me and said, we're looking for a music director, and we heard that you were a piano player singer on a short list. We'd like to audition you if you're interested. So when I do gigs at churches, I say, I was a jazz singer at home minding my own business when the phone rang, and it was God. And God said, Beth, will you go to church if we pay you? I said, well, yeah, I might. How much? Anyway, it's tongue-in-cheek. I say that kind of not really seriously, but I think it's funny. Anyway,
it is totally funny.
They came over to my house. And I played and sang Amazing Grace. And the hilarious thing is that Lenore loved me. Ron was skeptical. And if you know Ron, Ron's the guy that if the band started 1 minute late, we got called out on it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ron runs a tight ship. Anyway, I was there for 5 years and I loved it. I was very blessed to get that gig. And because I got that gig, it's funny because I got that gig and, you know, after being there a couple weeks, I thought, wow, well, if I was going to go to church, this is the church I go to because I was totally comfortable there and I loved it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, talk about a miracle. The jazz singer goes to church. I love it. And then I just came up with these tunes because I was bored. And then I took the songs over to my friend who's the biggest DJ in Austin. His name's John Ailey, and he was on NPR for 50 years. He had the biggest show called Eclecticos. Well, he was my voice coach. So I take the album over to him and play it for him, and he goes, if you put this out, I'll sell you thousands of these albums. He was floored by this.
Yes, yes.
So he started playing it on KUT. And in fact, the first time he played the entire album, he used to get hate calls. People would call him and say, hey, man, we don't want to hear any more of this Bethany stuff. Don't you, you know, you got to stop. And it was just a huge hit. I was running to Waterloo Records every other week with more CDs. They just were selling out. It was a thrilling experience. And I was the number one album of the year on his show in 98 and another DJ show completely unrelated on the station. I had the number one album of the year. It was a thrilling thing. And then I started traveling around to different churches and doing my music. So a non-religious jazz singer gets pulled out of something and gets put in these situations, it's way bigger than me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, what's so funny about that is that, you know, there is a bigger, you know, there is a presence, of course, in Unity, we call that presence God, but you might call it the unconscious that, you know, that's driving. If you're an artist, I work with many artists and one is a sculptor. And he says, I just, you know, when I sculpt, I just go into the unconscious. I said, yep, that's God. And he goes, well, I never thought of that. And I said, well, culturally, you know, we've been taught God's up in the sky and all that. But that's presence. The scriptures say I am that I am, which simply means I am beingness itself. So when we can get in that place, you know, we get to experience it. So it's always happening. It's life itself. And I love that story. And I also love that as a jazz singer, you were brought into church because the truth is all the best musicians I've ever worked with in church have been jazz musicians.
I love it.
And in jazz, you know, it's such a conversation, an internal conversation, the way the vocalists and the instrumentalists work together. It is the way somebody takes a solo and then somebody else lays out, the way the song moves and changes. To me, that's what the journey is. So to me, it is a natural fit. I've only had one instance in my career where it was tough for a jazz musician to kind of get out of his head and start to feel. But he was one of those kind of chop busters that was always real mechanical. But I love that story. And of course, you know, you did have to say yes, Bethany. I mean, like, what's so interesting about the journey is you could have said no. but yeah, you just felt, you know, the rightness of it, whether it was the opportunity, the financials, the all of the above, whatever, something in you knew this is a yes, and that got you to this album. And what a blessing that's been, like you say, to thousands of people.
Unbelievable. I had a minister in, I think it was at the Big Unity Church. No, had a minister in New York. I went to New York to a church. And I was getting ready to go on stage, talk about a killer band.
Ooh. Oh, I know,
and
yes.
And the piano player, by the way, took me to task and said, your charts aren't right. Because he listened to the record, right? And my transcriptions, he said, weren't so great. You know, that was hilarious. He told me that before I got on stage, by the way. Anyway, I'm sitting there getting ready to go on stage, and the minister says, I was out in the labyrinth walking around listening to Bethany's music, and I had a religious experience. And I'm sitting there getting ready to go on stage, and I just started crying. It was incredible. I mean, okay, you know, I mean, it's way beyond me. I'm here on this earth. I was put here for some reason. And there's a presence. And if it's not if I'm not living proof of a presence, there you go. It'll make a believer out of you if you have this experience. A believer in what? Well, a believer in something greater than myself that is divinely fabulous. And I have been writing like a maniac for the last 2 years. It's just gotten better and better and better.
Yes. Well, and next half, I do want to hear a little more about your journey and also the new album. But because I know you've got some new videos out too. But the other funny thing I just wanted to tell you that when I first came into Unity, it was also as a paid musician.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
I would not go because I had my own church job. I was doing some work at a little Methodist church, but I was really feeling like I wanted something different. Like whatever was happening there was not really feeding me, like really great people, but I just kept feeling like there was something else. And I was helping this friend of mine who was a composer, and she had composed this gospel piece and wanted me to come listen to it and all that. So I listened to it. Now we were working together and she said, I really want to do one of these pieces at my church. I said, I have a church gig. And she said, I'll pay you. And I said, okay, when do you want me to come?
Yeah,
and I went to Unity once. And about that time, I also was moving into a new place. And strangely, the new place I was moving into was owned by the president of the board at Unity.
Oh, how cool.
And so all these people all knew each other, right? I wasn't aware of any of it. And I went to church and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I was looking for. Well, that week I'm moving into this place. The owner comes up and says, you're never going to believe this, but I was just at the board meeting. And we're going to hire a drummer at Unity. And if you want it, the job is yours.
That is so great.
So that's how I ended up in Unity also.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I just know that when Spirit wants us somewhere, we get whatever message we need to get us there. And, you know, we don't have to wonder. It was like, I was looking. You were open to something new. Mm-hmm. And I'm only bringing out these points because sometimes our listeners will say, well, how did you know? Well, you know. And I know that our listeners have an internal yes and know how to feel into that. So I just want to,
listen to the small, still voice.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. I can't believe we're already at about 20 minutes. But Bethany, it's great to have you. And we'll be right back after this brief message. Probably me talking some more.
Thank you.
I am here.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us. I know it's part two, Dave, because my dog knows when it's part two and always comes over to say hello for part two. So friends all around the world, little Chance says hello. Who's not so little anymore? I've got a big black lab retriever over here. Aww. He loves to be a part of things. You know, he knows when mama needs a little support. So he's like, okay, mom, you can make it through the next half. It's been a big weekend. So recording early today. But we're so thrilled to have Bethany with us. And Bethany, it's been great to hear a little bit about your journey and certainly the album that impacted me so much. And I also want to get to, you know, what's next for you, but tell us a little bit about your new album. And the new album is called After the Rain. And I saw one of the videos, which I thought was excellent as well.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about that album. Cause this is not a meditation album, right? This is a whole different feel. Tell us about it.
Okay. I was married for 11 years to a magnificent jazz pianist named Rich Harney. I had not written anything in 10 years. I was on a 10-year just doing my job and doing some gigs. Sure. Wasn't writing. And he passed away suddenly, massive heart attack out of nowhere. Didn't know he had a heart condition. He was 65.
Wow. Whoa.
And it rocked the Austin jazz community to its core.
I bet.
He was one of the most amazing people, spiritually aware, giving, beautiful people you'd ever want to meet. He's the reason he was my mentor. And the day after he died, I wrote a song immediately for him. And from that time on, it opened up everything. And I started writing again. Mm. And I honestly see a cardinal on my deck, you know, in the morning. I think, oh, my God, there he is. I mean, it's been crazy. And I feel his presence very much.
Yeah.
So I started writing again. And then I wrote a song about COVID. So that was when March, when the first COVID thing hit. And it was spring break and I was off work and I was at home. And I wrote a song about COVID called 6 Feet Away, little jazz waltz. And I posted a very crude video on YouTube of me at home playing and singing it. And my ex of 35 years ago, who is a PhD in jazz composition and teaches bass at Youngstown State in Ohio, within 5 minutes of posting the video, there he was. We stay in touch occasionally on Facebook. He said, I love your song and I hear a big band arrangement. And I said, well, would you like to write me one? And he said, yes. He wrote me an 18-page arrangement for nothing within the week. He said, you have a big band in Waco? And I said, yes, we do. I work with them quite frequently. They're part of the college. And so last December, we did 6 Feet Away with the arrangement, Dave's arrangement. Fabulous. But anyway, long story short. So I said to Dave, well, how would you like to collaborate on some songs? And he said, sure, because he's a composer. And he's a frustrated lyricist. So I sat down and said, okay, what am I going to write? I know. I'll write about the personal journey and spirituality and how creativity saved my life. And I called it Salvation. So I wrote a lyric. Well, I've never written a lyric not sitting at a piano in my life. So it was a real challenge to sit on the couch and write a lyric. Couldn't touch the piano. That for me was just awful. But I wrote it and I sent it to him and he wrote this gospel. He thought it was going to be gospel. So he wrote these gospel changes and sent them back to me. And that was great. And then we started, we did a Mary Oliver tune. He wrote lyrics to beautiful Mary Oliver poem.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Yes.
But he changed the words because they wouldn't let us. Mary Oliver won't let you write lyrics, you know, turn her poetry into music. They won't do it. So Dave turned that into a thing called Tonight, and that's one of the videos I did. That's the most meditative thing. That is a meditative thing.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of tunes. Anyway, I write all kinds of styles. So I just started writing stuff, and then Dave would write a song, and then I'd need more material, and so I wrote words to some of his stuff. He wrote a tune on his last album for a sax player that's a monster to sing called in this moment, which he wrote for the departed bassist Charlie Hayden, who's his idol.
Oh, wow.
And so that's on my album, and I just was determined to sing it, and I did. It's really tough to sing, but I did it. Anyway, that turned into an album. And I called one of my best musical friends in Austin, Mitch Watkins, who is a guitarist, whose last gig he was the lead player for Leonard Cohen's last tour. He's played for Lyle Lovett. He's an amazing musician.
Whoa.
And I called Mitch. I said, Mitch, I've got 10 tunes. I'm ready to do an album. And it was COVID. I said, are you busy? He said, no, I'm in my studio wearing a mask.
Yes.
I said, well, let's do it. So we recorded this album, just he and myself in his studio. And then we imported a really great drummer named Tom Breckline, who's done many albums with Chick Corea, who now lives in Austin. So we just sent the files to him and he played. Oh my God, it's beautiful. So it was a great experience. So I have a new album out and I've got enough tunes to do another one. I just don't have the money yet.
Yeah, and so the new album is called After the Rain. I know you can find it on Spotify because I've listened to it some there as well.
Right. That song was the last poem my dearly departed husband Rich wrote the day before he died for his wife Maria. And he posted the poem on Facebook. And when I saw the poem, I said, I got to write music to this. Well, then we started doing this album. And so I wrote music to that.
Oh, wow.
I love singing that because it's all connected to the spirit. It's all... God, I just hope he can hear me. Mitch and I are sure that he hears me doing that. And
I'm sure. Well, and so now where is your journey taking you? So I know you don't do music at Unity anymore, but you've been teaching music and vocal work, right? And working with bands for most of your career, right?
29 years.
Yeah.
Here at the college.
Yep. Yep. And so what do you think is next for you in terms of either work or spiritual, or are you just kind of going with the flow? Any ideas? So definitely a new album, it sounds like, is in your future.
Oh, yeah. A new album is plenty of songs written. I'm retiring in a year, and I can't wait.
Ah,
so
very good.
A year from now, I'm moving back to Austin, back to the homeland.
Yeah.
Leaving Waco in the dust. And I've loved living here because I love my job.
Yes.
But I want to go back to Austin. And I can't wait to do that. I have a jazz vocal trio, and so we'll be doing more work. I don't know what's going to happen. Actually, it'd be great to end up in a church again because I won't be working that much. So, you know, the thought of being in a Unity church every Sunday is actually a very appealing idea to me. So you never know what's going to happen. I would love to do that. So I'm sure Spirit will put me in the right places. I really feel a need for a change after this many years.
I can only
imagine. Yeah.
Yes. I got it. The new album, though, you said, well, it's not necessarily sacred. Well, I know for myself, and I know our listeners, we don't just listen to sacred music. I'm really known for putting some hip hop in. So, and I listen to jazz primarily. And I love a lot of acoustic stuff. So,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah. It just any good music. I, you know, grew up on folk music, you know, in the family and singing around the piano because we were all musicians and church musicians. As a matter of fact, I'm just coming off of a weekend where my sweet aunt, who was 92, passed, and all of the siblings, you know, sang for her memorial. And so music has been such a part of my life that I love all styles. So, you know, that's one of the things I like about you and your music as well. You're not, you know, just limited to one style, because to me, all music is sacred given, you know, the energy behind it,
correct.
You know, so that any music can be a spiritual experience. You know, there's a particular, hip hop artist. I'm not going to go into it right now, but, that I listen to if I'm feeling a little low, and that sometimes that's exactly what I need. I need some attitude, you know. It's like, I'm not going to pray this away. Sometimes I've got to be real with where I'm feeling, you know, right then. And sometimes that style of music really does that. So
it's amazing what that, I mean, that's amazing. All I got to do is put on Steely Dan and I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I remember when COVID first hit, I would listen to Steely Dan albums when I walked my dog.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I'd forgotten how much I loved the Royal Scam. And that thing just, I play that over and over and over again. It's amazing. I love their music. And because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
If I'm alone and I got to deal with the mice in my cottage up in Michigan that, you know, has been closed up all winter, I put on my living gloves and I make myself a gin and tonic and crank the Steely Dan up and get after the mice. I mean, that's what I do. The Steely Dan somehow just gives me courage.
Yes.
To face what I don't want to face.
Right. Well, one of the things we're always mentioning to our listeners, you know, is to figure out what works for you. You know, it's like you don't have to do what I do. A lot of my courses over the years recently have really been about taking my process and giving it to people because people just need new ideas. You know, like last month I did a class called The Morning Pages, which simply grew out of my morning process. And then I had people saying, like in my one-on-one sessions, I just need a process, you know, and I was going, all right, we can do that. But I want people to find their own, you know, what works and to really take the time to be as conscious as possible because what works for me may not work for someone else. Like I'm always happy to share the journey and give ideas, but sometimes we need to find that for ourselves. I love that Steely Dan is one of your go-tos.
Isn't that wild? Such a dichotomy.
Well, what are you? Well, it's awesome. Well, what are some of your other influences musically?
Oh well, my biggest one is Joni Mitchell. I can say that without even trying.
Joni.
I mean, well, I have a funny story. So my dad was a professor at Purdue University for many years in the business school. And of course, so I was, you know, groomed to go to Purdue and I got lucky. He put me in a dorm, you know, so I had freedom for the first time in my life and I didn't go to classes. We had a Steinway grand in the lobby. It was a beautiful old Steinway.
Cool.
And I would go out there and sit in the lobby on the piano and play Joni Mitchell and Elton John tunes and taught myself how to do that. And that's what I did. And ironically, I flunked out of Purdue and my father was disgraced. I moved to Los Angeles with $20 in my pocket in 1973.
Wow.
And, yeah. And the rest is history. But learning how to play chord symbols and accompany myself in pop ended up being what I do for a living, which is really bizarre.
Mm-hmm. But didn't you say you were classically trained, right?
Yeah, I was classical pianist. Yeah, I was. But I didn't start back to school until I was 27. When I was 25, I was married and I knew I didn't want kids. I was living in Los Angeles. Music was in my blood, but I hadn't pursued it yet. But the voices were screaming at me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to see about taking classical piano again. So I walked into a music store in Claremont, California, in the Riverside area. And I said, who's the best piano teacher in town? And they said, well, there's this guy who's got a master's from Juilliard. And I said, okay. So I called him up and I said, hi, I took piano as a kid. You know, I haven't played in 10 years, but I would like to start again. So I walked in, I auditioned horribly on a Clementi sonatina. That was awful. But he took me on and I went from not playing to playing 4 hours a day.
Whoa.
It gave me a reason to get up in the morning.
Absolutely.
So I would get up, make my coffee, hit the piano. And within 2 years, I got into music school at Cal State Fullerton and started, you know, so my classical music thing didn't start till I was 27. Then I moved to Austin. I finished my degree at University of Texas, which I'm happy for because it's a wonderful music school.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas has been very good to me. I've been here a long time. I'm originally from the Midwest. I'm from Indiana, third generation Hoosier, but I've lived in Florida. I've lived in California. Actually, I graduated from Miami Lakes High School in 1973. And then I went to Purdue my first year, flunked out, moved to L.A. I remember I told my dad I was going to move to L.A. And I said, Beth, that's where Charles Manson is.
That's a new one.
I went anyway. And I did that. And I stayed and I loved it. I loved California. Back in the mid-70s, I lived at the beach. I made hardly any money. And I went to Cal State Long Beach. I was a poetry major. I was living the life. God, what a life.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yes. Wow. What an amazing story. And that is a surprise that at 27, I mean,
yep.
You know, it says to me not only your talent, but your will. And it, you know, I'm constantly reminded if we have a desire, if we show up, that what we need to do the thing, whatever the thing is provided. The right teacher,
absolutely.
The right, but you know, you had to be there for it. You had to show up 4 hours a day for yourself.
You got to listen to your, you gotta got listen to that. You got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to therapy. I was in therapy for years due to early childhood stuff.
Sure.
And I just dug myself out of the hole. I had to because
yes.
My inner knowledge was greater than any of the negative voices going on. I knew I had a gift. I knew I had to pursue it.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's crazy what happens. I mean, I've had people at churches tell me that I've had people say amazing stories to me about how they got through something with, like yourself, with my music, how I touched them, how they, I healed. Oh, I've got a story. My God, I have to tell you this. This is the most important one. So I was teaching here in Waco, but I was living in Austin at the time. It's a 90-minute drive. And one day I just decided I can't get in the car. So I stayed home and I had given Go Within to a friend, two copies, one for her sister who had cancer. So the sister who had cancer was very near her death. And I was at home, laying on the couch, the phone rang. And it was her sister. She said, Beth, I don't have much more time on this earth, but I've got to tell you, your music has made it possible for me to make my journey to the next place.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't even talk. I had nothing to say.
No.
Just beautiful. What a powerful thing. It gives me chills to tell the story. God, it was so beautiful. Her name was Sharon. And God, that says it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, friend, that is exactly the place we end our time together today. It's a beautiful ending to a beautiful time. And yes, we know that your music is a blessing. It certainly has blessed me. And I know it will bless our listeners from all around the world. And we'll put, of course, in show notes, Dave, all the info.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll show you how to get to Bethany's website and how to find Bethany on Spotify and YouTube link for After the Rain or tonight, I think, that video.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, as always, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure and a blessing that you are with us. We're also always open to your feedback, your suggestions. If there's something we can do better, let us know. But we're happy to be in your life and to be supporters of your spiritual journey. And as always, we're grateful for your support, both emotional, spiritual, and financial. I guess that's three, not both. But for all of your support, we are so grateful. So we'll see you next week, and blessings on the journey, dear friends.
Lead me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Authentic Spiritual Journey is copyright 2022, Cynthia Alice Anderson, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission from RR Hot Publishing. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.